Welcome to the Unseen Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Jen Morse, holistic business coach, spiritual mentor, modern mystic, and artist. In this podcast, we explore all things mysticism, creativity, spirituality, and entrepreneurship, bridging the spiritual and the practical. So excited to have you here, and I'll see you in the show. Hi guys, I am so excited to have Catherine Wright on the podcast today. You are really going to enjoy her. Her energy is amazing. She is a powerhouse. Like I can't describe with words how much beautiful energy she contains and the amazing creative works that she puts forth in the world. Catherine is a creative, a businesswoman. She works in photography, video, design, marketing, and she's also a sought-after educator and mentor. Originally, she is from West Virginia, and now she resides and works in the New York Capital Region. Welcome, Katie, to the show.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited. So tell us a little bit about what you do, what you're working on now, what you're kind of excited about, so we have a little background.
Well, creativity has always been something that's like been throughout my entire life. I grew up in western West Virginia on 25 acres of land with no cable, and I pretty much was like raised in a household that was really focused on imagination and creativity and, you know, coming up with ideas. So much of what I do is like a direct derivative from like my upbringing and how, like, you know, we didn't really have anything around us. And so we just kind of had to manifest and create that. And And so like throughout my entire life, I think the one thing that's been super consistent for me has been photography. I discovered it at a very, very early age, loved it. And so I've always been doing it. And now I'm a photographer. I own YTK Works, which is like a photo video creative company, do other things, but primarily that. And, you know, my main focus is like documenting people and amazing moments in their life, also doing other things. I feel like that was like super long-winded, but
your company is amazing. I mean, it's prolific. You have grown so, we've known each other for a long time, I think over 10 years, and like to watch your company grow, I mean, it's amazing. You're just the way you can serve people and the amount of people that you work with and how much heart you put into what you do is just, it's really amazing. You know, like you take pride in everything you do, and the work is amazing. So I really am always astounded by the work that you do and how you do it. And yeah, so Katie's work is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I wanted to ask you a little bit, like, in terms of, and you touched a little bit upon this before about growing up, which is really neat. Growing up on those 25 acres, you really didn't have, you had to be creative, right? Like there wasn't a lot to plug into. So I'm curious too, because you're also, which is part of this podcast, you're also a very spiritual and mystical being. And I'm curious to know, like, how spirituality and creativity played into your upbringing and how that unfolded for you.
Yeah. So I think that like most things go back to my mom, which is so interesting, but like my mom has always been like an incredibly like creative being, super inspiring. And she's also very spiritual. And I think growing up in nature with parents who are very like, I mean, my dad, like his biggest thing was like the most important thing that you could ever own is land. Mm-hmm. And like, there was just such a respect for the earth, for the world that was around us, for all of the animals, and just a lot of like, just you know, I think both my parents were just like very in awe of nature, and it was really important in our upbringing to be, to learn and to discover and to question and to be curious. So I think that that was a big part of the spirituality. It really comes from like this groundedness in the earth and how sacred she is and how important, you know, that is in all things. And yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, I mean, we would go out as a family. Like my dad would wake us up at like 2-3 o'clock in the morning and have us young kids. I mean, I was probably like maybe 6. My brother was like 4 and Thomas was just like a toddler. And he would put us up on top of the roof on our house to watch meteor showers at night, you know? So it's just like a very, and like he would point out the constellations and just like, so that was kind of the world that I grew up in. My father's a physician and my mom is a nurse. So there's this very interesting like connection between like science and earth and spirituality. And, you know, it's just a very, very cool way to grow up.
Okay, let's dive into that a little bit more. That is a topic I love so much, science and spirituality. Like,
yeah,
how did you, or what's your understanding of that now, maybe through your upbringing or through your parents?
In what way? Like, how are the two kind of connected?
Yeah, how was that illustrated to you, I guess, like having physician and as a father, and then spirituality also being important? Like, it seems like you learn to hold both things.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like anybody who gets invested in science understands that there's so much that we don't know and that we don't understand. And it's kind of a quest for discovery. And I think that that is a true parallel to spirituality in so many realms, because it is a constant self-discovery as you go through different layers in life. And it's funny because in West Virginia, like I grew up in this very, very Christian town. I was never baptized. My parents very much supported the education of all religions. Mm-hmm. So like, not only did we read the Bible, we also learned about the Quran. We learned about the Torah. Like, we learned about all of these different great books. And my parents just had this like perspective of all of these different religions had such wisdom, and there's truth in all of them. But depending on where you come from, you know, certain people believe different things, and that we learn more from the people who think and come from a different background than we learn from people who are the same. So there was also this kind of quest for discovery on that same level.
Mm, that is beautiful. I had no idea. That's fairly uncommon to have a family that would introduce different religious texts like that as for study. That's incredible.
I think it was like important for my parents to like, they just knew what they didn't know. And I think that like, they really just like, they really encouraged all of us kids to really find our own way and to find our own truth. And they said, you can't find that unless you challenge what you know, and you keep asking questions. And I had a very interesting and difficult time in churches as a young lady. Yeah. Cause I asked my parents, like, I was like, I want to go to church. And then when I went to church, I would ask questions, and I was met with a lot of resistance on questioning certain things. But I think that that was what was really important and kind of paralleled like the science background of like discovery and, you know, testing and seeing what works and what doesn't. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
I have cool parents.
You really do.
I do.
That's so epic. So yeah. You also have, and you know, we can dive into this however deep you want to go, but you also do have amazing psychic abilities, right? So when did that kind of come online for you? Was it always there? Did it kind of shut off at one point, come back? What's your relationship with that?
I mean, and I'm still learning and discovering about that as well. Like, a lot of it is just, I think sometimes too, like I'm very skeptical. Again, kind of going back to that scientific like test and be like, is this real? Is this not real? So I think that the important thing that I would say to anybody who feels like that they're connected beyond what is right in front of them is the gut punch, is what I call it. It's like when something happens and it's like the wind just got knocked out of you, that is like an affirmation that that is real. Like it's totally real. I think that like ever since I was like a little girl, I've always just been very like intuitive, empathic, and connected. I've always been able to read people really well and understand them and empathize. So I think that that's been kind of part of my entire life. And then also just really observant. I think that that's something, a gift that I have, is just, I'm very, very observant.
Yes. Yeah. You have, I mean, it's like you have an eye for so many things, but you also, you have an eye for connection. Like you have an eye and a mind, and I don't just mean eyes, but I mean a mind, for a lens in which you process for like all of these different connections. Like you'll see things that I, for instance, would never see, or like sequences of numbers, or, you know, you'll really like be able to connect different pieces and understand deeper meaning really easily.
I think that's my Virgo rising.
So good.
For sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's so good. Has that tool helped you in business at all? Like being able to see different connection points and.
Yes. Yeah. So I definitely think so. I think that in business, like especially when you have your own business, which was never my intention. I never ever thought that I was going to have my own company. It was never something that I had dreamed about. I never thought I personally prefer to be number two. Like I love to have somebody who's in charge, and I love to be the most incredible, supportive, epic person to support them. But that's interesting about how like the universe like puts things out for you. And I think that that's like what I've learned over time, is that you know something is for you when it keeps showing up in your life. Mm-hmm. And I also like have had several conversations with people where we talk about how difficult things can be, and you know how life can be super hard, and especially when you're running your own business or just, you know, trying to survive in today's world, like it can be a lot. But I think that the thing you have to remember, one, is to how to surrender. You know, like you just have to learn how to surrender, and then knowing over time and practice, the things that are meant for you will keep coming for you, and the things that aren't meant for you will keep coming for you. And it's the lesson to learn how to no longer allow these things that don't serve you to just take up space in your life. Mm. I think that that's always like an interesting thing as well, but it's not, you know, life I don't think is meant to be easy. It, you know, it's not meant to be without lesson. And sometimes lessons are really difficult. Sometimes they're very joyous, you know, but like we have to take the bitter with the sweet. And I think that's been like the interesting thing about like my journey as a business owner as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting too, to like the lessons, right? Like this idea, because there is an idea that what's meant for you, it should just be so easy, so effortless. Like you're this magnetic being, you know, especially in like spiritual circles, it's like the thing's just supposed to come to you, which in a certain sense it might, but you also might have all of these other lessons before that, that you have to learn to even A, see it, or B, attract it, or C, be able to hold whatever energy is coming to you. So I love to hear your explanation on that, like how growth, like that's so beautiful, you know, like growth is just part of the game. Like growth is just, that's
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, just think about a toddler who's teething, like it is painful for those teeth to come in, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. like that's like a physical manifestation of change. You know, kids get growing pains in their bones when they start to spring up. So, I mean, like growth is not always this like incredible, like petals coming out, you know, yeah. Like even if we look at other parts of nature, like growth is, there is definitely some intensity, and sometimes it's uncomfortable, but you got to like learn how to lean into the discomfort. I think that that's like important in all aspects of your life, is learning how to lean into discomfort, how to surrender, to just know. And it's also this like ultimate knowing that you will be okay. You know, that you will be okay no matter what the difficult situation in front of you is. It will, you will transition through it at some point. And I think that that's where spirituality also kind of ties into that, is that that's the same kind of surrender. You find it in all different kinds of religion, you know, that's the beautiful poetic part. That's like kind of a consistent in all aspects of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That having, like you said, surrender, but also having faith and also self-trust, like being able to trust yourself and your ability to navigate, which is, I feel like that's something you have within you. I don't know if you always had that within you, but have you always felt like just this deep trust in yourself and like knowing when you want to do something and when it feels good, or when you're struggling, that you'll get through it?
Yeah. I think that it always kind of comes back to creating. Like I'm supposed to create. And I think sometimes, like, I think as a whole, we as people feel that if there's a problem, you have to fix it. And it's like this constant call to be in action. And I think that sometimes we have to remind ourselves that sometimes doing nothing is just as important as trying and trying and trying. Like, I don't know if anybody has ever like had a piece of jewelry, like, you know, two necklaces that are chained together and like they get all knotted, and like you're working the problem and you're working the problem, which is one of my favorite things my dad always says, is just keep working the problem. But if you like leave it and you walk away from it, sometimes when you come back to it, you can start over and keep working on it, you know? And it's like the same thing with like the things that go on in our life. Like sometimes you just need to give it a minute to come back and look at it with fresh eyes and then start again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And loosen up that energy, because it does create kind of a tunnel vision sometimes in our energetic perspective, you know, like when you're just like frustrated, you know, cause then you get frustrated, it's not happening fast enough and this and this and that. But like you said, when you can step back and create that space, come back in and there's a whole new perspective, and maybe you're like, oh, I didn't even see that I could like unlatch this part of it. And then
or you come back and you have different tools. You come at it from a new perspective, a new experience, you know. And I know that we're talking like very like metaphorically about like all different things, but I think it applies, you know. And it was interesting, like I was talking to your girlfriend of mine who, you know, is going through some really incredible life changes. And there was like a meme that was talking about like a roadmap and like this journey. And, you know, I think that we like also have to like, as humans, take the concept of time and put it beside us as well. Like, I think it's important to like have goals and to have a time frame on when you want certain things to happen. But you have to be super open to the fact that things may be faster, things may take a lot longer. And I explained it, it's like looking ahead, like at a huge, like if you were standing like on one side of the Grand Canyon looking across, and you're like, oh, I could just get over there and it would probably take me blah, blah, blah. And then you start hiking on the trail and there's like parts of it that you would go faster, other parts that are like super treacherous and like high. And you know what I mean? Like what we visualize in our mind's eye of like what things would look like is completely different than what it is when you get there. So I think you have to be like really open to the fact that it's like, these are like guidelines and markers and not like a literal, like I will get up and I will be, you know, here in 2 months. And some people can do that and awesome, but that's not most people. And that's not how life works. And I think we get frustrated when we don't make goals because we're set on this idea of what it should look like instead of just being open to this is a goal and eventually it'll happen. Right. If that makes sense.
yeah. I love that metaphor too, of the Grand Canyon. Like that's such a powerful metaphor. And, you know, I agree, because I think that time is quantum, right? I think that it can shorten, like you were saying. There might be bits where you're like speeding through and you had no idea you could even go that fast. And that can happen in time because time is not super linear like that. But we try to, in our brain, make it super linear, like within 6 months, I need to be here. And it's good to have because you need to have a post, you know, you need to have a signpost, you need to have some sort of direction, some container, right? But then, like, if you're grasping on to exactly that vision, which is honestly sometimes pretty arbitrary, you know, like that goal can be not, it can be something that you were meant to have so that you could get to the next place so that you could reorient. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, totally. And I think that's like the important thing. It's just like a constant, like a reevaluating of like, is this where I still want to go? Is this really what I want to do? Is this serving me? You know, I think that that's also like really important because as we learn and grow, we change and we may find that what we thought we wanted, we actually don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. End of podcast. No, I'm just kidding. What you think you wanted, you don't.
It's so funny. It's like, you know, but again, it goes back to that whole, like being okay with questioning and being okay with like, being like, am I happy? Is this good? Like, you know, am I in a struggle situation? Okay. What lessons are here to learn? Mm-hmm. Like constant openness of like every circumstance that's given to you and like what beautiful lessons are there, even if it's a really hard, hard situation.
Yeah. You know, what's coming to mind is this concept of that sometimes I think people, that idea of constantly reassessing or you know, like having to actually check in with yourself, I think to people, a lot of people, it seems exhausting. Like that's why people don't do it as much, is like there's this fear and this sense that like that's exhausting. Like how can I just go on cruise control, autopilot, you know, and which is something that many people decide to do for their whole lives, is go on autopilot or cruise control, right? So that's nothing against that decision, and you can make that decision if you want, but there is this other way of awareness, right? And of this path of growth that you're kind of speaking to, which is really beautiful. And, but also, I think it takes just takes more skill.
Well, I think, yes, I totally agree with you. I the analogy that I would use for the people who are kind of cruising through life, they're like eating without salt. Like there's just no flavor, you know, mm-hmm. It's like, it's fine, but it's bland. And for the people who are willing to like lean into the discomfort, who are willing to like check in with themselves, who are willing to have really like hard, but open and honest conversations with the people in their world, they're the ones who are like tasting the full flavor that's there, you know? And yeah, sure. You can totally eat like chicken and rice and that is delicious and perfect, but you know, there's so many more flavors. There's so much more vividness out there. And, you know, I get it. I totally get it. But yeah, it's just that there, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's like, for me, the connection that I have with people too, is just seeing like the incredible beauty that they have in the day to day. Like, you know, you don't necessarily need to travel to exotic places or own a big house or like have these materialistic things or have these like earth shattering, you know, incredible spiritual, financial, whatever, to live a full, whole, absolutely gorgeous life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that place, it's so beautiful, right? Like to find moments in life where you're at that place of feeling super centered and alive, like you're tasting the salt, but you're also, you know, you're in that place of centeredness. And like the Tao Te Ching talks about like the middle way and like just being in that center point, right? Where it's actually not exhausting at all.
Right.
You know, like.
Yeah. I think this is why a lot of people struggle with meditation too. Like that's where like that meditative spot is, I think too. It's that sweet spot of just being like really present, you know, and like observing everywhere you've been and, you know, taking a little moment of celebration to be like, wow, I have really done a lot. You know, I think sometimes we like, we pressure and we're like, oh, I need to do this and I need to do that. And I need this in order to feel this way. And it's like, you already have everything that you ever needed inside you.
Yeah.
At this moment. Like it's always there. Everything you ever need or want, it's all locked in yourself. Everything else is just extra.
And we set goals, for instance, or we set and we go after external things. Not that it's a bad thing, because it's actually how our lessons come to us, right? Like it's how the lessons and the blessings come to us and how we experience this richness of life. But at the same time, we're ultimately chasing a feeling. We're chasing a state and a feeling. And if we realize that we could sit in that state or be in that state or go into that state just by connecting, you know, just, and I say just because it's not that easy, but, no. But by tapping inward and realizing that you do have access to that divine flow and that state wherever, whenever, and it doesn't depend on how much money is in your bank account or where you're living or what car you're driving, etc. It really is, you know, it is a feeling, it's a state, it's an energy. And I know there's so many people like that can move around in the paradigm of like having things, but feeling not connected, or feeling super connected, but then struggling to have things. And, you know, it's such an interesting dance that we play in, you know, in the 3D and the material world, because we're both physical and spiritual, which is such a, such a conundrum.
Yeah. And I'm not, when I say like, we already have everything within ourselves, that's not to say that like, I don't want things or desire for whatever, you know what I mean? I definitely do, especially like for me, traveling is like so important. And I love experiences. Like I love, like, to me, experience is like the most important thing, but I can't always have those experiences where I live in upstate New York. So I think that it is important to like, if there are certain things that are pleasurable to you, like, you know, whether it's like clothing or vehicles or gadgets or whatever it is, you know, I think that that's important, because I think that's part of the human experience, is the pleasure and pain, you know, it's like the two sides of the coin. But I think that thinking that those things are necessary for happiness is where a lot of people have come to this like collective consciousness of knowing that things aren't going to make you happy. I think that most people now see that, but they can, you know, things can bring you pleasure for sure. It'd be silly to say it wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it's like knowing what those things are, you know what I mean? Like what makes you very happy? And then also like focusing and okay, this is something that's important to me.
Yeah. And being truthful about, I mean, because that's something I know was hard for me for a while, is like, well, that thing's making that person happy and I like them. So maybe I should do that thing or follow that trajectory. Right. So also getting really real about the things that you are seeking and the things that you are drawing to you and magnetizing and focusing on, because sometimes you can even go down an interesting rabbit hole of, you know, seeking something that you don't even truly desire.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do that. And I think that's like outside perspective of like, you know, pressure points of people who like, for example, like, you know, a lot of times relationships with parents can be really hard, because our parents, I think, ultimately only ever just want us to be okay and to survive after they've left us. Like that's the biggest thing about parents, and they're going to push their kids to do something that they know they will have success at and be able to survive without them. Like, yeah, really, that's kind of what a parent does, whether yeah, it's conscious or unconscious. And I think this is where we get into the intense conversations about like career choice, partners, you know, and of course, all parents want their kids to be happy. But truthfully, it's more important as a parent, I think, and I'm not a mom, so I don't know, but I just know from my experience with my parents, it was more important for them that I survive than it was that I be happy.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah.
And that, and my parents are, you know, we have a very interesting relationship. It's a very long one. But, you know, when I told my dad that I wanted to be a photographer, he wanted me to sign up for the military because he knew that it would be consistent income and that I would have benefits. And he was like, so do that. Because he didn't think that I could make a living as a photographer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it wasn't that he was unsupportive. It was, it went back to that whole concept of, I just don't want you to get into a situation where you cannot take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's powerful, powerful mm-hmm. to realize that, because it's, that is the role of our parents, right? Like just primally is to keep us yes. alive. That's yes. like in their bones. Like they are there to keep us alive. So we have to consider that. And, you know, the paradox of that is that they are the most, the people that we, whether we like to admit it or not, value their opinion the most, especially in
early. Oh, it's all about pleasing them. It's all about their yeah. approval.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's how you receive for sure. love and security, you know? So that's the energetic tie that right there. But then knowing that actually what they are approving or not approving of is not even based on you really?
It's not personal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not. It's not personal at all. It's all about like, when I'm not here, are you going to be able to make it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Hopefully that releases some people of like, whatever.
I know, right?
And like, oh my God.
Totally. And giving parents some grace too, as to like, you know, they're not trying to rain on your parade. They're literally just trying to keep you alive. And that's beautiful, you know, that they care. And, but also that's like the individuation that happens as we become adults and we realize, okay, now this is my path. I am my parent. I am responsible for me. They aren't anymore. Like they're not. Yeah.
I think it's one of the things that I heard one time, but it just connected with me so much, is that children come through their parents.
Mm.
You know, we're not necessarily like, parents don't necessarily have like particular ownership over us in some ways. But it's a different perspective when you see people as individuals. And, you know, that was like the very cool thing about my parents, is they really always treated me and, you know, looked at me as a human first and foremost, not their child.
Mm. Huge shift in how you experience the world, I'm sure, you know, like, especially in, you know, attachment theory and psychology and stuff. It's like that, to have a set of parents that primarily view you as an individual soul, like an individual or human, like you said, versus mm-hmm. their human or their baby. Hugely different set of programs that are going to be running in your brain and your subconscious than if it were a different way. Like it's, mm-hmm. it's massive. And I think, yeah, I think there's so much to be like, that's one of my favorite things to dive into with like my work and clients and everything, is like, between the ages of 0 and 14, like there's all these subconscious programs that get embedded in us, right? And a lot of them mm-hmm. come from our parents. So yeah, just like starting to unpack and look at that a little bit and how it's affecting your current reality is huge.
Well, and I think that your parents' past also impacts you, like their experience with like their parents. You know, it's a lot of things, you know. And like I said, like my family, I have a very unique family. I have a very special family. I have a very important relationship with them, but it wasn't always easy. I probably had one of the most difficult childhoods growing up for various reasons that we can talk about later. But yeah, it's definitely very interesting, like especially as an adult, to like take that time to step back and to like look at your past and all of the different patterns and things that happen. Also to look at your parents through adult eyes versus how you saw them when you were kids. And I think that all of this kind of like observation of being like an observer of your own life is helpful to at different points go back. And like, that's kind of where we're talking about like the flavor of living a bland life, or really taking some inventory on experiences that you've had, choices that you've made, people who have come in and out of your life, your family dynamics, you in relationships, you know, and really just to kind of observe like, you know, who's the person that you've developed into. And then also reassessing kind of like what you want with goals and where you want to go from there.
Yeah, totally. I'm curious if you have any books or podcasts, or if you want to talk about any lessons that you've learned in your martial arts practice. Like, I'm curious if you have any juicy things kind of at top of mind that you're really like have been excited to learn recently.
So no. Yeah. So like, I think like, I experience more through connection and like conversations through people. Mm-hmm. I don't really listen to any, specific podcasts off, like, I don't really listen to anything or read anything in like this area of like spirituality. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm trying to think. No, not really. But I think that like the lessons are exactly what I just said, you know. Yeah. I really love like just the observation and like checking in with inventory.
Yeah. Very present.
Yes.
She's present. I love that. Okay, I did have a question for you. I wanted to tap back into this, but so you had mentioned that you never really had this like dream of working for yourself yet. You are in a really big Yes. way, and you're employing other people and you're very successful. So when did that kind of come in for you and you realized, okay, I think I have to do this, or I get to do this? And what was that moment like?
Yeah. So, it was in 2015. I was, so I had had a very, difficult relationship in the past, and, had a lot of financial, hardships through that. I was in extreme, extreme debt, and I always wanted to be in the creative field. I have, you know, my background has always been in photography, but again, it kind of goes to the whole concern for my dad, like, how do you make money in photography? So I was like looking for different jobs, and in the creative field, there just wasn't anything that was going to fix my first goal, my most important goal, which was to be financially free and to get rid of this debt. So I knew that in the creative world, it was just not going to happen for me. I was not going to be able to afford all my bills. I was not going to be able to make that happen. So I actually started working at a law office as an office manager. And, you know, that was like a very ballsy move. And like, you know, just something else for me, like I'm severely dyslexic. I couldn't read and write until I was like in third grade. And I had a very interesting experience with the education system. I was always looked at as kind of like helpless, if you will. Like, you know, they just like didn't think that I was going to accomplish really anything. And I was like, my parents were told that, and they were just like, that's crap, like bullshit, excuse my language. But they're just like, she is so intelligent. There's no reason why she can't. So that was like a very interesting part of my childhood is going into that. So walking into a law firm where everybody is highly educated and I cannot read. I mean, I can read, but it takes me a bit. And my spelling is still pretty intense. So to walk in there and just be like, I will just organize boxes. I will do whatever because I need to get my foot in the door in something that's going to be more solid. And within a few years of working at that practice, you know, I was doing so much. Like I was writing and helping the attorneys with like all different various parts of it. So, my boss at the time had really encouraged me to go to law school. She's like, you would be great. And I loved that idea. But again, it kind of goes back to the system of like education. And I don't do well in formal education. So my creativity kind of got put on the side. And I was still shooting and I actually started teaching around the same time. That's when I started educating other people who are interested in photography. And that was so rewarding for me to like watch individuals just absolutely like be able to be creative. And most people choose photography because they're not creative in anything else. They can't paint, they can't do this, they can't do that, but they want to do something different. So that happened as well. And throughout my teaching and through meeting people, I just had clients who would, you know, approach me about doing various shoots, do a family shoot, do a wedding, do this, do that. And before I knew it, I had 20 weddings scheduled. And I was like, holy cow, like I cannot do a full-time job and teach and shoot all these weddings. I'm going to have to pick something. And I made the decision to officially go into my business full-time. And it was terrifying. It is like, if you've ever bungee jumped, which I haven't, I can only imagine that that's the sensation, but you don't have the cord to rip you back up. You just feel like you're jumping off a bridge. But I just had faith that because I kept getting people who were approaching me and asking me for my work and my clients were super happy, I was like, okay, like, I guess this is what I'm going to do. And and that was almost 6 years ago.
So wow.
I am my own boss. And that was very long-winded. And I'm so sorry about that. But there's a lot of backstory.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's great to specifically hear the journey because everyone's journey is so different. Like how they got, it's an incredible tapestry that we each make in our own worlds. And yeah, that's incredible. So now you're sitting in actually this amazing studio. It's a three floor studio. She just gave me a tour of it on Zoom. It's amazing. Oh my gosh. I'm like so excited and happy for you. And yeah, and you're just booked. You're just booked out, girl.
And you have, like crazy. Like can't keep up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So how do you, I wanted to maybe kind of weave this in terms of how you use or utilize magic in your business now, or what type of like, when you're, yeah, I'll let you just riff on it.
Yeah. So I think that the most important thing to me, like goes back to connection. And I think that one of the reasons why I'm so successful with my business is that I'm very, very tapped into my clients and I love them. Like there was this like essay that I did in school, like way back in the day. But just talking about like, what's the most important thing. And to me, all connection, all creativity is love. You know, being a creative is loving. And I think that you have to, like, for me, there is just this like beauty in what I do. Like, we'll just say like for photography. You know, I have families now that I started photographing their kids when they were literally newborns. Mm-hmm. And to see like the connection, to watch them grow, to see you know, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, you know, like the whole, like you just, you learn about people's life stories and you understand like what's important to them, but you're also like part of their life and you're also documenting their existence. And it's just so incredibly special. And so I really love them and I really love the work that I create. And, you know, somebody could look at it and be like, oh, that's just a nice photo, and that's fine. But to me, I know how important that photo is to that family, to that individual, you know, to capture that time. And I think that that's what's something that's really special is really having clients who are so in line with the appreciation of what I'm doing. And then, you know, that's really been different because there's a lot of incredibly talented people out there. But for me, like my clients just basically become lifelong.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Heart chakra work, baby. I know you put so much heart into everything and that's such, it's like the most powerful energy. So beautiful. So we're coming up to our show end set of questions. So these are a set of questions I ask every guest. First one. So they're going to be a mix of practical and spiritual. First one is, what is your greatest investment in your business to date?
In this for me, my greatest investment in my business has been to go to educational workshops.
Yeah.
I love to travel. I love to learn. Learning is like one of the most important things for me. So whenever you can merge the two, I am a happy camper.
Amazing. Yeah. You have been on quite a few like amazing international workshops, right?
Yes. Yeah. My friend Kelly Berry, from the Bureau workshops, there's like a very cool story about how that all kind of happened, but you know, she's just an amazing human being. And again, she puts so much love and heart into the work that she does. And I just being around like the things that she pulls together has been like incredible.
Amazing. Okay. Number two, what is one of the most magical things that's happened to you? Like an instance, a synchronicity, something that really was pivotal to you in your development, in your business, in the way that you saw the world, in kind of the subsequent steps that you then took?
So when I first started out in 2015 to go full time for photography, now, mind you, I've been doing photography for a very, very, very long time, but I never really like wanted to have my own business. It just kind of happened. So I think that it's like very, like we're talking about roadmaps earlier. We were talking about trying to make sure that we're on the right path. There's all of these questions and there is no map. There are no landmarks. You're kind of like driving blind, you know, it's very intimidating. And also you just, I think that we all, sometimes we like, if something is uncomfortable, sometimes we like scale back because we're just like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to make the wrong choice. Like people are so afraid of failure. And what I like to say about failure, going back to science, this is how I start every single one of my photography classes, is photography is the merger of art and science. Okay. And what do scientists do? They test. And what do they do more than anything else in the world? They fail and they fail and they fail and they fail. They try an experiment and it doesn't work. So they try something different. Failure is actually part of the process. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have to lean into the fact that failure is not, in our mind of being a loser, or, you know, it didn't work out. So therefore you are less than. Failure is just that didn't work. So now we're going to try something else. And that's success. To be successful as a person who is not afraid of failure, you're going to try it. And if it doesn't work, you're going to try something else. In my whole journey with all of this, I found symbolism in hexagons. They started to show up to me. It was a design that, a logo design that my dear friend had done for me. And I was like, I love that. So hexagons became my symbol for my business in 2015. And I would see them in random patterns, walking down the street in, you know, different areas. But I just knew, that's what I was talking about before, that gut punch when I was like questioning, like, oh, am I on the right path? Should I really do this? Do I keep going? Am I okay? I'd see a hexagon. And it was like, thanks, universe. I appreciate you. I see you. And so like that has been something that has kind of like manifested throughout. And then I realized that, you know, not that I didn't think about it, but hexagons are part of this whole concept of a honeycomb and this like colony and this, you know, hive, if you will. And that has also been something that's been super important to me, is I never really wanted to do this alone. Mm. I wanted to create with other people. And so the bee theme kind of started to come in, and then I would see bees everywhere. So I just think that like sometimes like symbols will present themselves. You just have to be open to observe them.
Yes. Yeah. That's so beautiful. Okay. Third question. What is your favorite or one of your favorite unseen forces to work with? Maybe you kind of just tapped on this a little bit, symbolism, but.
Yeah, symbolism is definitely important for sure. I just think that like, that's kind of, yeah, symbolism 100% is like, I just kind of see beyond the veil, if you will, mm-hmm. you know, these little things that pop up. And that I think is like, just super special for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Okay. And then the last question is one piece of magical advice and one piece of practical advice for the listeners.
I would say that it's going to be the same advice for both. Mm. The magic and the practical are really kind of merged together. I think the best thing that you can do for anybody who is trying to have a more connected experience is to slow down and to be present and practice gratitude. I think that that's, especially if you're in struggle, look at all the positive things that are going on and practice gratitude. And when you start to really like live intentionally like that, more magic comes your way and the world gets more interesting.
I love that. Beautiful. And that opens so much of the heart, right? Like you're a master at that. A master, Catherine.
Thank you
so much for being here today and being on the show, sharing your wisdom. I'm always excited to talk to you. You know, there's always some new revelation that happens for me or some beautiful outcome of our conversation. So I just want to thank you for being here and for sharing with me and everyone who's listening.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much for having me, Jen. I just love you. And like, you're so inspiring. And this is such a wonderful thing that you're doing for so many people.
Thank you guys so much. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider doing a rate and review. I know everyone asks you to do this, but it really does make a difference, so that more ears can hear this message and so that we can connect further and on a deeper level with more people. So if you go to wherever you're listening to this podcast, give a 5-star rating. If you're feeling really great about it, a review would be amazing. And I so deeply appreciate it. And thank you for being here.